I'm Stacy Holmes, and this is Glordinary, a few moments where we celebrate God's glory and champion the ordinary. I'm glad you're here. Who here has a naughty puppy? The ones who wreak holy terror on your family, leaving you questioning all your life choices. Hi, I'm Stacy, and I have a high-maintenance Springer Doodle. Meet Rolo. And before anyone comes for me, yes, he's had ample veterinarian care. He's had in-house private training sessions. We've clicker-trained him, but he's just too stinking smart for his own good. Once, he single-handedly took down the Christmas tree, chewed and ate through 6 strands of Christmas lights while plugged in, I might add, destroyed nearly every preschool and childhood ornament my daughters had crafted, decapitated Santa, and ate the wings off the angel tree topper. Thus, I joined a support group specific to his breed. It's fine. You can make fun of me. I make fun of me. But who's got time for headless Santa and wingless angels? The support group is largely based out of the United Kingdom. Oh, you didn't think I was just making that up, did you? And thanks to the brilliance of the interwebs, I found a community of individuals who equally love their pooch and need to maintain some level of sanity in their home. Immediately, the group embraced me and Rolo, offering creative suggestions and sustainable solutions. And things slowly started to improve, especially once the Christmas tree came down. When we took the tree down, not Rolo. However, progress doesn't equal perfection, and nowhere has this been more evident than in my own life and Rolo's. While I am beyond grateful this animal has never destroyed my furniture, I wasn't prepared to walk in and find that he had chewed and eaten his way through our family Bible. He literally ate Genesis, like the Garden of Eden, gone. And sure enough, in the beginning God created, yeah, well, that came out the other end, along with Noah's Ark. Oh, Rolo, Lord help me. Well, last winter, I was reading through the Old Testament, and I got to Jeremiah, and this verse made me think of our handsome little stinker, Rolo Carmel. Yes, of course he has a middle name. I'm not a monster. I couldn't help but chuckle as I wondered if this was what Jeremiah had in mind. Listen to Jeremiah 15, verse 16. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. I'm pretty sure there was a hearty amen from Rolls on that one. And as silly as this correlation is, that verse gave me pause that particular morning. Now look, I will be the first one to admit that I love, love, love the Bible. Shoot, I got my degree in it, and I just love parsing me some biblical Greek words. Nerd much? Guilty as charged. It drives me bananas when the Bible's cast as boring and fuddy-duddy folklore. Oh man, eye roll. But also, can I just say that Scripture is not always my joy and heart's delight? I often read stories or verses that I don't particularly love. I don't always understand, and I definitely don't delight. Sometimes I wrestle, I argue, I just flat out don't like parts of Scripture. And that's okay. I don't have to like it or even always understand it for it to still be absolute truth. Did you catch that? It's okay if I don't always like it. It's okay if I don't even always understand. But that does not negate that it's still absolute truth. God's certainly big enough to handle my musings and misgivings. My goal is to be small enough to listen and learn. But what strikes me more about this verse is the final phrasing. Here it is again. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty, I bear your name. Huh. The original Hebrew for this phrasing means, quote, to be called. It's the same Hebrew word as when God created the world and he called the light day, or he called the dry land earth. It's the same word as when Adam gave names to all the animals. It means to properly address someone, to properly call someone by their name. A name, it's a powerful thing. It's why when we named our daughters, it wasn't done hastily. I remember poring over name books, searching meanings and various origins, because this child would be called by our name. It mattered to us what we were speaking over her. There was no way I wanted to one day learn I had unknowingly named my daughter Stupid Rat, Horse's Rear, or some minimizing character trait. Because a name, it's a powerful thing. It's a reflection of the namer. When we're born, we're given a name, but we also learn a name. You see, leaning and living into a name, well, that's a learned thing. The more I sit with the word, the more I eat it, so to speak, the more I learn about what my name means, not just my given name, Stacy, but his name for me. Daughter, mine, chosen, accepted, forgiven, free, secure, purposed, planned, designed. I learn it for the first time and learn it for the umpteenth time too. I relearn it, or re-eat it, if you will. His word came and I ate it. Oh, it's pretty easy to digest what others say and believe my name is. She's just a mom. Just a homeschooling mom. Just a stay-at-home wife. Just a fill-in-the-blank. It's easy for me to speak a name over myself as well. I'm anxious. I'm wrinkly. I'm dimpled. I'm ill-equipped. I'm boring. I'm stupid. I'm fill in the blank. So what about you? Are there names you've been calling yourself that don't match his? I have been called by your name, it says. He's named you, sweet friend. No matter what you might think of yourself, you're a reflection of the namer, who he is and who he says you are. Keep learning and leaning into his name for you, because it is good. You're not alone in this. I'm praying for you, friend. Have a glordinary day.